Blog
Welcome to yet another edition of the always illustrious Kayak Fishing Radio, The Late Show. All right. So how y'all doing? Welcome to the 11 o'clock version of Kayak Fishing Radio. I am Rob, a bad backcast DeVore, your illustrious host. And you have to forgive me, I'm like really tired tonight. But I do have a 4-day weekend, so yay me. A couple of things going on this week. Well, this isn't happening this week, but I was checking it out this week. They did announce ICAST, dates for ICAST, the big convention out in Vegas, the fishing gear convention, as it were, is July 13th, 15th, 2011, at the always mid convention center. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I've wanted to go to that. You have gone. Remember, come on, ICAST. All the pictures. You get to see all the new gear that comes out. Manufacturers, dealers, you name it, man. If it's in the world of fishing, they got it. So it's an awesome time. I'm really looking forward to going because, as I said, I've never gone before, you know. And as far as I know, I believe a couple of the YakAngler.com, you know, dudes going. So I believe YakAngler Adam is going, and Isaac the Nothing Miller is scheduled to go out there again. He was the man last year and sucked it up. All the Yak Angler guys went fishing instead. So that's another thing. God, there was something else. You know, I should learn to take some notes and write stuff down before I hit the broadcast button, you know. But I'm an idiot, and hopefully I'll get better at that. Oh, yeah, the YakAngler.com trip to Wednesday weekend, February 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, I believe. Do I have that right, Mark? Is that the right dates?
It's Friday. Everyone's kind of moving in, you know, getting all set up. Saturday fishing, Sunday fishing. Monday, if you live down in Florida, you can still afford to do it, fishing. The rest of us, the long drive home. And then Tuesday for everyone else, the pilgrimage back home.
How long of a drive is that for you?
For me, from Virginia Beach to Jacksonville itself is 10 and a half hours. Which
Wow. Not to mention, To pick my large self up is another 4 hours from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, not as bad.
Oh, man, it's going to be fun, though. I'll tell you, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone on any of those trips with Mark or with Adam or anything like that, but it's always a fun time.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mark Landing Crew Wheeler on the phone here from Virginia Beach. So that'll be fun. Well, I tell you, and you know, you were right. You know, I think we got Dee coming. She's leaning towards going, and if we can get Redfish Chuck to go, she'll hitch a ride with him. So it's going to be a fun time, man. And there's a lot of local folks in Jacksonville that are getting ready to head on over there and show us some of the ropes over there, man. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, kayak. A bunch of people put up on Kayak Fish Jacksonville. Hey, y'all, we're doing this thing. Please come on out. Show us how to do this. And I know there's a bunch of people going, really? That's a great time of year. I don't think I'll be there. So it should be a good crowd. The more, the merrier. You know, makes me look better when there's more people.
Yeah, right? You don't stick out like a sore thumb.
True.
I'm kidding. Hey, look, if I'm going, everybody will look better because, you know, I'm either getting skunked or I'm the guy catching all the dink trout, man. Hey, Yak Angler Adam's on the chat, and he's there from, he's calling or talking to us from Kansas. What are you doing there, man? Just work? You said you were hoping to get snowed in. Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah, Isaac, I'm wiped, man. I'm just, like, really tired today. So, you know, hopefully you guys can, I'll try to wake up a little bit. If I drink coffee, though, I'll be up all night. That's one thing Miss Pass did bring me back, some awesome Costa Rican coffee on her trip to Costa Rica last week. So I'm kind of happy about that. That was awesome in the morning. So what else is going on? Mark, so tell me, man, what kind of kayak are you bringing down with you on for the Little Talbot trip?
The only one I can get my big butt into, and that's the Wildy Wellness Systems Wellness Systems Ride 135. I call it the floating tree, because it's the Wildy camo, which doesn't really look like camo, but looks like a tree laying in the water. It's neat, in my eyes, the most stable kayak out there. It's just awesome.
That's cool. Love so it. You're going to give us a demo?
Oh, yeah.
I missed out on all that. I didn't go to the Cumberland shindig where they were, Lake Cumberland there up in Kentucky. So, you know, I'm kind of, but I did see the video. You know, it looks like a great tool. Hey, let me see. Yak Angler Adam, man, what do you got? What do you got going on? You just working? Is it cold there? You can't do any fishing there or what? That's pretty, I think it's hilarious, man. Oh, yeah, you know, that's right, Adam. He just said that they're going to have some, two new kayaks, bringing down two Diablos and a new canoe. You know, that's funny, I was just talking to the Diablo guy, on Twitter yesterday, and I was telling him about how you guys, you know, how the Yak Angler crew puts those kayaks through the paces, man. And I tell you what, man, you'll get the full blown thing. They test that thing out, top, bottom, up, down, walk all over it, you know, flip the thing, whatever, man. And so you'll definitely get the full treatment of, you know, with that thing. And he was happy to hear that, you know. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to checking out that Diablo. Myself, you know, I've seen them on the websites and they look like an awesome kayak, definitely. You know, the dimensions, they're a really big kayak and they're a really stable kayak. But I haven't had a chance to actually get on one or see one up close, so I'm looking forward to that, man. So this is all at the Little Talbot Island. You know, yakangler.com, fishing camping trip there, man. We're going to stay out there for a couple of days, do some kayak fishing, test out some kayaks. That'll be awesome. Yeah, you know, Adam, when you guys were down here testing those emotion kayaks, when you were down here fishing with me, you know, where you guys were testing that is exactly right where 2 o'clock Charlie lives. If you know the story of 2 o'clock Charlie, it's a beastly fish that tows you around. I don't know what it is. It's either a really big snook or a tarpon. I haven't quite been able to ID the thing, but we've hooked into it several times there, in that same vicinity right there. So, you know, you never know. You might have been kicking 2 o'clock Charlie right there when you guys were testing out those kayaks that day. So, that's awesome. So what else is going on there, Mark? You up there, you been fishing lately, or is it too cold for you?
I've been making bait.
Soft plastic.
Corn baits and trying to fine-tune my Freak Nasty bait line. and then that's what the bait line is going to be called. Freak Nasty Baits by Landing Crew Tackle. And you know, there's going to be, you know, the, you know, different color schemes, the morning after, and it's going to be that color scheme of eating, of drinking way too much Goldschlager and then eating right afterwards. You know how everyone knows the morning after that. So it's going to have some gold flake in it and just be one of those gnarly colors, you know, that, you know, everyone likes to use motor oil. Well, it kind of looks like the motor oil. Almost, but not really.
Dude, that's the funniest thing, man. That's hilarious.
Cheap lipstick. another one's going to be I'm Broke, which is like a cheap beer PBR color. Which I love PBR, by the way.
Dude, that's an awesome idea. I love that. That's great.
And, you know, we've got the 10-2 line of baits, which are actually, they're really nice looking swim baits. And then we have the 2-10 series, because you know the old saying, at 10 she's a 2, but at 2 she's a 10. and so we have the really nice looking ones, and then we've got like the funky ones that you look at in the package and you go, there is no freaking way that'll catch a bass. There are things coming off of it that shouldn't even be there. Is going to be the 2-10. What else we got?
Now, you know, fly fishermen might get that mixed up because there's a thing in fly fishing, you know, where you stop. You know, you do your pause right there at the 10 or the 2. You know. But
this is for fly fishermen looking to catch really, really big fish and not little bitty bitty lake trout and pinfish and stuff like that. This is for people who want to catch 10, 12, 13 pound bass. These are baits that are substantial for that. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that sounds like that's a great idea. Have you ever seen the brand Brown Lures? They're out of Texas. They're awesome. They're like really thick, fat, soft plastics, probably about 4.5-5 inches long, and they kind of taper off into a table or a tail. And they're ridiculously. You know, killer on trout, man. They're really good. It's a great bait, man. But just, you know, they have the double eye and the flapping devil. Those are really good baits, man. Because they're really thick. They're almost like a finger mullet, you know. You guys get those
right
up there?
Oh, yeah. And that's actually part of the Freak Nasty lobster line, which is, you know, you've been out the packaging is actually dark, deep sunburn red, and that, you know, lobster-fied. I've actually got a wake bait that looks like a mullet, like a finger mullet.
Yeah.
Now, when Fingermore they didn't chase, how they just, you know, the subsurface. And
yeah,
they're pushing the water, and it's got that big V, and then you see the redfish come up behind them, and it's like a, you know, a small little paddle border, and then you got the great wave behind them putting a bigger wake. That's the same, that'll be hopefully the same look. And actually, on the bass side, I'm coming out with the tapeworm. And it's actually a worm that on the drop spirals and kind of rotates and does a weird thing that I'm going to keep it at that. But if you ever take a worm, drop it in some water and see how he reacts on the way down the bottom, that's the way it's going to look. It is definitely cool. It definitely catches bass. Wink, wink, hint, hint, hint. and it's not just, it's very, very cool. It's going to be one of my favorite baits. Fished on a shaky head, fished on like a Senko. And then, you know, it's,
throw it on
it's
a football
definitely,
jig,
definitely
cool. Throw it on a football
jig. Now,
jig
you, that's when you use the junk in the trunk. Chunk.
Oh, no.
which is a larger chunk bait, like you would use on, like a pig skin bait. That one's got actually large flippers on it that pulsate on the way down with the jig. And it's a make sense set of head instead of like the old chunks where it's this big thing of plastic that makes no sense at all to be on the jig. Doesn't look right. You know, I never liked the way they looked. So I went ahead and went, you know what, I can make this better. And that's what I've done is I've made it so you can actually thread it on there. It can lock it. It lock itself on the hook. You don't have to lose it. And that's just holding on by a little, you know, the, you know, 0.3442 the size of the hook shank, you know, and it stays on there. And, it, you know, you can fish it, five or six big bass, and not have to worry about changing it out. Just reset it and go. But
that's cool.
Going to be a cool one. And then my personal favorite, the hairy beaver, which is a
oh, no.
which is actually a beaver style bait. If you don't know what that is, it's a oblong football shaped bait with ridges on it. And then behind the ridges are these big, we call them peddlers or flaps, which they're really great baits. Only problem is that they're supposed to imitate a crawfish. And I kind of took it a little far and actually took some rabbit fur and I molded it into the edges. Of
now,
the
that's something I haven't seen.
Edges.
That'd probably work.
And it looks like a helgramite. And
oh, no
your bass, you know, how the helgramite kind of has
yeah.
those lots of legs on it and everything. Same
yeah.
thing. And surprisingly,
that's a great idea.
Smallmouth eat them, big bass will eat them. It also looked like a an old, if you ever caught an old crawfish, he's got some, you know, gnarly crud on his shell. Looks the same
yeah.
way. And of course,
wow.
you know, you'll look at it and be like, that's a beaver, all right. I can tell you that much right now. So
that's funny. Bring some of those with you to
great.
Jacksonville, man.
Actually,
that's a great idea.
I'll bring a few, but a lot of them are still in the works on getting, you know, mass production done.
Yeah.
And that's my only worry is that, you know, I want to put this line out, and this line will be exclusive through yakangler.com.
That's awesome.
The site that'll be coming out. And
I was just
going
to ask you if you had a site or anything that you were going to put that stuff out on.
I'm
going to
have a site, but I'm going to have Yak Angler go ahead and post them on their store. So this way people can easily go right to Yak Angler, read the forums on people catching, you know, big bass and big reds and trout and snook and every other fish in H2O. I go, you know what? I'm going to try some of those baits. Jump on to the store, buy a handful, and then
yeah.
post a day later, look at the size of this bass, or I never caught a shrimp this big. Or, you know, it's going to be very cool. And I think it's
awesome.
The future of baits isn't the big company. It's definitely the smaller hand pour who goes, you know what? They mass produce this, and there's bubbles, and there's this, and there's that. They don't last that long. When I can do it myself for half the price, you know, because that's anyone who's ever poured their own baits knows, you're just sick and tired of having to pay $8 for a bag of bait. That's just
absolutely.
That's plastic ball.
You
know,
that's one reason.
You know, there has to be a better way. And then you go on and you start looking around through the different, you know, things out there. You know, great sites like Tackle on the Ground and lure making. And you go, you know what? I can make that better. And that's, you know, that's how a lot of the smaller companies come out. You know, guys that just pour, you know, 100 baits a day. And that's all they need to do. And they sell them to their friends and different things like that. And
it's a creative thing to do. You know, I think that's that's where a lot of fly tying came from. You know, back in the day, there wasn't a whole lot of lure manufacturers or ways to make your own baits, as it were. And fly tying just kind of, you kind of imitated what you saw with what you had, you know, and kind of tried to make something out of it. But, dude, that's a great idea. Some of those ideas are, that's a riot, man. And I'm sure that Mark and Adam would definitely appreciate that stuff, man, on Yak Angler. You know, not only them, but I'm sure a lot of other people will too, man. That's great. So, yeah, bring a couple with you to Jacksonville. I'm, like, excited to see that stuff. I always like to see new stuff. You know, and that's another reason why I really like brown lures out of Texas so much is because, you know, they make really nice baits. And, you know, not only are the baits really nice, but they're just like a small-time little outfit, you know. So, it's a great idea. So tell me something. So what else are you bringing with you to Jacksonville, man, besides, an air mattress and – you know, your typical stuff. Sorry, had to fire the kids off one time there.
There's a joke on that I'm not going to say because it has to be a iTunes thing. I'm going to be bringing, the usual rods, my jigging rod, my spinning rod, everything that I'd use for freshwater that I use in salt also up here. I'm bringing a surf rod, a cooler full of adult beverages with lots of carbonation. Let's see here.
That's cool.
Flour and corn tortillas. Cabbage, dill sauce for fish tacos.
This is for the fish tacos, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, me and Chip, we're talking tonight about doing a little bit of a contest. So, you know, maybe we'll have to, you know, throw a little competition in there. You know, we'll figure something out on the way, on the drive up there. You know, see what those guys think about it. But I think it's going to be a fun time, and I'm, like, really looking forward to it, you know. But when you get ready to go on a trip, what do? You get everything packed up, ahead of time. You got anything, any sort of special superstitions or anything? You know, you got to
without a doubt.
You know, no bananas in the truck or anything like that, or is that just in the boat?
The only banana that is in my truck is my Skeet Reese rods, which are as yellow as they get. But I've already got my truck packed already.
That's awesome.
And I do the freaked out, okay, I got a list of everything that I have, and I go through it all. And then I look at it again every 4 hours, and I go through it all, and I make sure I have everything, because I forget something. And then I've got to buy it at Walmart, and I don't like Walmart. Especially through the deep south, because I am I talk with enunciate what I should say, and that can be a problem sometimes. That's a joke. We love everyone in the South. You're good people. But it's, you know, I like to make sure I have everything. And then I go,
hey,
a
Isaac says,
and go, you know what? I need to meet a little bit more.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know. Isaac says you need to pack a few days ahead of time so you have time to remember what you forgot. Yeah, it sounds
and
like
I've
me,
actually
man.
I've done that, where I've actually packed everything and then just went off to work and then went fishing after work and went, okay, what am I forgetting that I might need? And I go, that's what I forgot, and I'll write it down. And
right.
I come home, put everything, you know. Because I'll actually go, I actually did it for the trip in Georgia last April down in Lake Harding, where I said, you know what? I'm not taking any chances. If it's fishing even relate, kid fishing or camping related, and I own it, it is going in my truck. My back seat was full. My bed was full. My passenger seat, good luck to anyone trying to sit there too. I had tackle boxes and rods and, you know, a fluffy bunny to sleep with, which was rather nice.
That's awesome.
Everything just to make sure that I wouldn't forget something because 2, 3, 4, you know, 4-plus states away from home.
Yeah.
A little over 800 miles. I like my creature comforts. You know,
I know.
Mr. Fuzzy Bunny is, you know, a must, you know,
I'll tell you.
Bass fishing arsenal.
You know, I'm very minimalistic, okay? And if it doesn't fit in my kayak, I don't really need it, to tell you the truth. You know, like gear. I mean, I can fit all my camping gear in my kayak. And Adam will be able to – he'll tell you, you know. I mean, he comes from, like, a old-school backpacking background, you know. So, I mean, dude, I can tell you right now, I like – you know, I could live out of my backpack in a Therm-a-Rest – you know, for, you know, anywhere in the world, man, seriously. You know, it's really, really easy for me to, you know, to be comfortable, I guess you could say. You know, I don't need a whole lot to do that. But, you know, all of my fishing stuff fits in my camping stuff fits in my kayak, you know, with the big, huge gator hatch on the front of the Malibu's, you know, that thing is the greatest thing in the world because you can fit so much stuff inside that, you know, people don't realize that. And that's another one of the selling points that I really liked about, one thing that I really loved about my Malibu is that the, you know, it had that big, a lot of storage in there and I can fit all my, you know, camping gear in there. So it's great.
Yeah. And you know, I spent 4 years sleeping on hard ground in climbs and places that most people, you know, would rather go to hell before they go there.
Yeah, I know.
And it's, you know, I like to have my little creature comforts. I like having a sleeping pad. That could be a piece of cardboard, anything to keep me off the ground, you know, from bare ground is what I want.
Yeah.
And then yeah, I'm the same way. You know, give me a sleeping bag. Give me a poncho liner, you know, a small blanket, a couple of, you know, lightweight kids, you know, and, you know, to lay over top of me. Anything to keep me warm. I hate being cold when I sleep. I like to be cool, but not teeth chattery. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, I know. You know, the Therm-a-Rest, I don't know, you know, when I first started backpacking, one of my first trips backpacking was to Rocky Mountain National Park. And this is just a quick story about gear. You know those foam, those roll-up foam pads, right, that you get at, say, Sports Authority or something in the camping section? Man, that thing was flipping terrible, man. I'm not kidding you. That thing, after laying on that thing for 5 days, my hips and my shoulder were just history, man. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I felt like I got beat up. But Therm-a-Rest, man, that's like one of the best ever, you know, self-inflating pads. You know, it keeps you warm. It insulates you. It's great, man. I got nothing but good things to say about that.
The only inflate about 2 inches high, And
yeah, if that.
Is that
the
one you're talking about?
Yep, got it.
I bought mine while I was in the core, and it was a savior. You know, inflated, it was about 4 or 5 pounds. And there's an old saying with anyone who's ever backpacked for long distances and things like that, ounces make pounds, pounds equals pain. And anyone
who's
ever had to hump up a mountain and, you know, be walking literally day from the day you woke up to when you fell asleep at night, you were walking, it's a very serious thing. And I could let all the air out and it turned into 11 ounces.
Well, yeah, it's...
I inflated and I was like, oh, thank God. You know, it was like sleeping on air and it was wonderful.
So that thing, you know, all of that stuff with the backpacking stuff, you know, I do kayak camping, you know, there's a couple of spots here in Florida, not a whole lot, but a few where you can just, you know, throw your stuff in your kayak and go up or down a river, you know, like some of the really, you know, crystal clear spring fed rivers here and just go camping out in the wilderness, you know, for 4 or 5 days. And it's awesome. And, you know, the backpacking background really helped me from having to carry a whole bunch of stuff. So, anywho.
Oh, yeah.
So,
the Nothing, when we went to, and it's, you know, he's not on the Tonkin, but when he came to the Georgia tournament, for y'all who don't know, he lives in Oregon. Yak Angler helped fly him out to Kentucky, where he FedExed and shipped and, you know, paid the $150 bag fee. Hopefully Southwest, you know, didn't have their thing yet. And he sent, you know, all of his fishing gear, his rods, his lures, everything that he had that he needed. And it was, you know, sitting there, and he's pulling out a suitcase that you think has clothes in it. No, it's about, I'm going to say 20 Plano tackle boxes full of stuff. And I might need this. And that's the thing. If you have the ability to, and I can't stress this enough, because I fish a lot of tournaments away from home, you know, over a weekend, especially the bigger bass tournaments where I'm actually not in a kayak. I'm fishing out of a bass boat. I can't have enough stuff. You never know when the conditions might change. And anyone who's a hardcore bass fisherman knows, you know, one cloud comes in that has a different barometric pressure than everything else, and your fishing day could be great, could go to hell right there. And that's something that I can't stress enough. Bring what you need in fishing gear, and then bring 300% more if you have it.
See, I'm the complete opposite, you know. I'm gonna bring my standard stuff, but, you know, I'm going to bring enough to, you know, sometimes I'm out fishing for 6 or 8 hours, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, I mean, I just don't, number one, I don't have all that much stuff, you know, to bring. And number two, it's like just more stuff to worry about. So I always go with the keep it simple, stupid, you know, thing. I know what you mean with bass fishing, though. I mean, I've done that before where they're, you know, you bring several tackle boxes full of stuff, you know, and you're just totally, I know exactly what you mean, man. And you bring too much stuff. But see, what with me, I just totally, you know, got to the point where I got sick of carrying the stuff around and loading it in the kayak and back out of the kayak again. You know, it was just, you know, one thing after another, after another, after another. And I was just like, man, you know. So now I just take, you know, a couple of, you know, bags of soft plastics and a couple of, you know, a little flambeau, you know, plug box, and that's it.
Right. Then I have days where I'll determine to all do that. But if you're going into an area that you don't know, and this is a big thing I try to teach new guys, is if you go into an area where you're going to be there 3, 4, 5 days, invest in getting some tackle that you would never use, i.e., you're a jig fisherman, you're not going to throw power baits like cranks and rattle traps and big spinners and things like that, grab those. Because you never know, you might get to that lake and they say, everyone fishes jibs here, and they barely catch anything. And you're like, oh, man, I'm fishing with jigs all day long and I can't catch anything. Excuse me. All right, let me switch to, the spinners. And you'd be surprised how a technique that you never used and never did before and you never liked it, quote, unquote, if you started using it in situations that you would normally not use it, if that makes sense, how
absolutely
much it empowers you. And you talk to any of the major bass guys, Bill Dance, Hank Parker, KVD, Mike Iaconelli, Skeet Reese, and they'll tell you, confidence, the ability to go, I'm going to catch a bass off this dock. There's no way. How much that empowers your fishing. You're fishing harder. You're fishing smarter. You're fishing, with a purpose. You're focusing more. I said the guy that's going, I don't know if there's any bass here. I might just try. And he just flipped it. Does it really really focus on everything? And that's why the same guys win year after year. And Iaconelli's book, if you don't have this book, y'all, go out and get it. It's Fishing on the Edge. It's why he never quits. He has a great quote in there. There's a reason that myself, and this is how pretty much how the quote goes, it's not verbatim, why myself, Kevin Van Dam, Skeet, Denny Brower, all these major names win. Because we never quit. We never think, I'm never going to catch a bass, or I'm not going to get my limit. We know we're going to do it. And if it means us getting in within 5 seconds, 5 seconds early of the, shutoff time for weighing, because we had to get that last bass or get that call, it's what we do, And
I don't know, man. I'm a minimalist as far as like bringing stuff with me. Like I said, I'll go out for 6 and 8 hours at a time. And Adam's making fun of me here because he says I just need to, get some milk crates. But I really don't take that much stuff with me, man, because, I can tell you on one hand, all the stuff that I take, and it, if I had, 100 more baits, I don't think I would use them because I really don't change too much off of what I'm using throughout the day. I'll rig up two poles maybe and a fly rod and I might change colors of the same type of lure, but 9 times out of 10, the only time that I ever really change off of what I just use most of the time is I might scale it down and use like a little just a little 2-inch Storm paddle tail. Those things are great, and it's really hard to do sometimes. A lot of times people, don't realize that, but, when you scale it down and you use a smaller lure, sometimes that works, especially if you know that you're on fish. Okay, yeah, they're making fun of me about the milk crates now. I don't know. I don't need them, man. I got. I'm happy with everything the way that my stuff is set up there, and we're gonna. I'll show you, man. I'll show you up in Jacksonville. We'll get some locals up there, and we'll get some. We'll team up and get some good competition going up there, man. It'll be fun. What in the world are they talking about up there? Oh my God, these guys on the chat room are hilarious. So Isaac, really, you they all said that you brought all of this stuff. You really brought a fish finder and a battery with you, and you flew it from Portland all the way to Georgia. I mean, come on, say
yes,
that's not say it ain't so.
It is custom-made hatch for the Ocean Kayak Prowler.
Wow. Did he bring his kayak with him too?
No. Just everything that he needed to make the kayak that was lost my train of thought. everything he brought was to make the kayak that he was going to use feel like his own. The seat,
well,
the fish finder, the rod pod, his funky little 6-inch rod, which there's no way he could ever catch fish, but it
did
funny. Somehow. It was a Triton 11, not a Prowler.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you know, those, I've seen these things, and I've often thought about this, because I don't like fishing in other kayaks except my own. I know it sounds really stupid, but it's true. I've seen these things, and you can actually put your kayak in a bag. It's almost like a soft-sided guitar case, you know. You can buy a bag for your kayak, and, you know, I don't know if you can fly it or not these days. But I thought that would be kind of cool to do, you know. You just drag the thing up to the to the baggage check and say, yeah, here's my 12-foot kayak, buddy. Have fun.
Yeah, but you know how your luggage goes through, you know, flight.
Yeah, and it
security.
Gets absolutely hammered.
I'd love to see
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Then we open it up and they're like, oh, there's hatches and there's things. And, you know, you see a TSA agent start shaking and, you know, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. No, if you ever saw some of my guitar cases that I brought back from being on tour and, you know, flying all over the place and stuff when I, in my former life as a musician, I don't see, these things are like super solid, you know, hard plastic guitar cases, and they're just, I mean, it looks like people were throwing them down the stairs and stuff, you know. So it's funny, man. But yeah, I forgot the name of that, where you can actually get a bag and stick your kayak in it. Now, I don't know if you can fly it or not. I don't know if they'll take it, if it's too big or what. But I thought that would be awesome to be able to just, you know, throw your kayak on a plane and, you know, go wherever you want to go.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a nice thing about kayak fishing, too. Is that you throw the kayak in the, you know, on your roof of your truck, or in the bed of your truck, or on top of your, you know, Acura, you know.
Yeah, you can go anywhere.
Anywhere, and you're still in your car. You're not towing the boat, so you don't have that second axle to pay for, a third, depending on the size of your boat. You know, if you're at them, you hide in the rod pod, you know, so you can
fit
more gear in the car.
I could fit Adam in the... You know, the gator hatch.
And like the, what movie was that? Like Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, where they put the little circus guy in the trunk with jelly beans and M&Ms.
I didn't see that, man. So tell me, have you been fishing?
Be
you've been fishing this week?
No. We've got a
just
super
working?
Cold front that's passing through, yeah.
And yeah, no kidding.
Kind of put a real damper on most of the fishing. I could venture out to the warm water discharges in the area, but so is everyone else who's sitting at home shaking with the need to go fishing.
Going
through withdrawals. And I don't want to deal with someone who is trying to get to their spot, and I just happen to be in their spot, and they're in a 57-foot, you know, monster
yeah.
North Carolina
right.
yacht going, this is my spot, and run me over. I've had that almost happen to me before in the wintertime. It's very cold out. The water's cold. I don't like being cold. So
now, do you get out?
No.
You know, since you're in the same general vicinity, do you get out there fishing with Rob Choi and all those guys anytime?
Oh, yeah. Me and Rob used to fish a lot in what's called Lynn Haven Watershed. It's a it used to be, funny thing, you have to remember, Virginia used to be part of the Confederacy and
right.
the whole thing that went with it. So y'all that need to understand this history, and history's history, was actually a large lake on about 200 yards from back then, 200, 300 yards from the ocean. And they needed a port in this area to land ships for, which was big back then, corn, tobacco, cotton, things like that. And they had the slaves dig out a large channel to the original lake, which was huge to begin with, absolutely massive, to be able to do that. And right now it is a major breeding ground for every species out there. Big drum are about ready to come in the next 2 months, 2 to 3 months to breed. They breed offshore, and then they lay the red babies. Menhaden, bunker, whichever you want to call it, breed heavily. Sea trout, stingrays. It's a major crab breeding area. Mullet.
That's cool.
Here in the only Hayden watershed.
Is that next to a power plant?
No, it is not. The only power plant that's on the saltwater is off the Elizabeth River, which is brackish tidal. So you'll be catching 1 second redfish, and the next second you catch a catfish, like a channel cat, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I saw that on Rob Choi's blog the other day. He was catching some nice, some spotted sea trout, you know, that were pretty decent, you know, sized fish. And I'm like thinking, man, I didn't think you guys got those that far up north, you know, especially in the wintertime.
Okay.
And I was, he said, yeah, it was a warm water discharge
trout.
And they were, you know, for up there. I mean, you know, they're not gator trout by any means, but you know, a 20 inch trout is still a decent fish, especially up there, you know, where I didn't think that they were, you know, in the wintertime. So I was kind of, you know, I'm always learning stuff all the time, you know. Call me a dumbass or whatever, but
this spring, I'm going to go out with Kayak Kevin on the eastern shore of Virginia and catch these massive red drum and black drum. We're talking 60-plus pound fish in the sloughs along the shorelines. And this is the same area where you'll see 10-plus foot tiger and sand sharks underneath your kayak. It's just very, very awesome stuff. So we get a lot of the fish you get down there, you know, except for the warmer water ones, your snooks and bonies and things like that, we don't get this far north.
Yeah.
But your heavy pelagic, if you want to call them pelagics, your cobias, your Spanish, a lot of those breed up here. And then they make the trip south so they can fatten up to be down there. I know there's a red drum. They breed up here because there's a lot of rat reds up here that stay up here year round, and they find the back.
There's a lot of rat reds
warm.
Down here too.
and
there's
actually the Marine Resources Commission is really doing a huge study on trying to figure out where exactly do redfish spawn in Virginia? Because the numbers of fish that we have here, you know, and I'm talking like 8-inch reds. I've seen 4-inch reds swimming in the water next to the little finger mullets, which is crazy to begin with. You know, where are they spawning? Because no one has ever figured that out, where these big, honking, 60-plus pound mammoth reds, you know, where do they spawn? Everything else spawns in the shallows, except for a handful of fish that I know of in my head. You know, where do they spawn?
Well, tarpon.
And that's what
tarpon
they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, tarpon spawn offshore, and they believe that redfish do as well. You know, the big honking, you know, 50 pounders, the big bull reds that you see up in Louisiana. You know, those are your spawners there. The ones that we're used to catching, you know, the 20 and 25 inch and 30 inch redfish aren't quite spawners yet. You know, those are still, believe it or not, those are still juveniles. Another thing that I read recently that was really, really, I thought it was really interesting is that most of the time redfish only stay in the slot, you know, the Florida slot, the 17 to 28 inch range, between, you know, for only less than just a little under a year, which I thought that was kind of a cool thing to, you know, for a redfish. But hey,
at that age, they grow extremely fast. I'm part of a tagging program up here. I've had fish that I tagged up here in Virginia caught. I actually got one the other day, or a response back from one that was caught in Destin, Florida.
Hmm.
Yeah. And when I caught him, he was 19 inches, tagged him, released him. This was 2 years ago, July 16th, 2008, tagged 19 and a half inches. And he was caught 3 weeks ago, and he was 31 inches.
Huh, no kidding. That's pretty fast, man.
Pretty substantial.
Yeah.
You know,
that's not just, you know, a couple of inches, man. That's awesome.
So, you know, it's cool to see, you know, that you know, my little tag baby's growing up to be so big.
Yeah. No, that's hilarious, man.
But I know that he made it, because I don't know anybody that has any fish in their slot over 30 inches. So 31 plus inches, he made it. That's going to be a spawner in 5-6 years. And
unless you get your folks that don't know or don't care, you know, about the slot, and they'll, you know, the poachers, you know, which
and I have,
I'm very, very much against. You know, I don't,
I've got
websites up there, you know, that down here on the FWC website, they have some things where you can go and see the, you know, it'll tell the story about the poachers getting caught. And I think that's great, man. That's like the greatest thing ever. You know, post them up there. I want to see that stuff, you know, because there's nothing worse that I hate than seeing somebody with a illegal fish, you know, whether it be too short or too big. You know, they put the limits there, you know, bag limits and size limits for a reason, you know, and that's to protect the fishery.
And, you know, I've done it. I don't know anyone who hasn't done it, you know, who's accidentally, you know, you're sitting there and you remember, the bag limit was, you know, for flounder. Flounder changes month to month up here, depending on size. And you have to be on your toes. And if you're not paying attention when you go out and fish and you go, okay, it was 18 and a half and I can keep 3, let's say, and you catch your 18 and a half inches and you keep your 3, you go home and you know, look it up and it's like, excuse me, oh, it's 18 and a half, I should have kept 2. Oh, my God. You know, we see it all the time on the website.
Well, they do change the regulations.
Where a guy goes and he posts up, I got my four fish. And then someone else goes, hey, dude, you're supposed to keep 3. And you can notice that there's the long pause in the forums where this guy doesn't answer, and then he comes back and goes, I am so sorry. I didn't do it intentionally. Trust me, I wanted to, you know, put myself out there. And it's understandable if you do it and then you never do it again. You know,
every so often,
we're human. You make mistakes. And if you live up to it and go, no, that's the way it's supposed to be, I know you're D and need to go play tag with semi on the highway.
Yeah. You know, that happens you know, they do. I have to check the regulations all the time, you know, just so I know. You know, I don't like to go, well, I don't know, you know, because a lot of times people ask me, hey, what's the regulation for this type of fish, you know, a redfish or a snook or, you know, sea trout. And, you know, I like to keep myself up on it, you know, like, and check it from time to time. You know, if you can check your Facebook page every day, you can definitely go check the regulations at FWC, you know, because they change quite a bit. And if you don't go there, you don't know. I'll tell you a funny story.
Nowadays,
there's
no reason with the phones and everything else that you can't go, you know what, hang on. And I mean, I have a BlackBerry. You know, I love it. I don't know what I did before it. But be able to go, you know, I'm going to double check that. And I've got all everything bookmarked on my BlackBerry. So I just, you know, okay, Virginia Marine Resources Commission, click that, okay, recreational fisherman. And I could quickly, within 10 minutes, figure out if I'm in the wrong or if I'm in the right. And to be able to
do
that,
absolutely.
I actually had a fish hanging off the side of my kayak with the game warden is pulled up next to me. And he's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey, hang on 1 second. I'm double-checking my numbers. And then the guy was like, okay, go right ahead. Because he was still in the water. He was on my stringer that I have. And I was like, okay, oops, I am in the wrong. Hang on 1 second. And I released the fish, and he had no problems with that. You know, because I wasn't sure before I even bought the fish. I even unhooked the fish in the water because I wasn't sure. And he had he was like, I have the utmost respect for you for doing that, you know, because it shows that you care. You had enough knowledge to go, you know what, I might be in the wrong. Let me make sure.
I'll tell you a funny story.
That's huge.
It is. That's a great idea to do, man. You just got to keep up on this stuff, you know. You know, you can't tell the game warden, hey, you know, I didn't know, you know, because they don't care. But, yeah, here's a nice fine for you, buddy. No, but they, one time when I was a young back cast, I was down in the Keys, and we were fishing offshore, and we got on a nice red grouper bite. You know, they weren't huge, but they were, you know, medium-sized red groupers. And, you know, so one of them, you know, I think that at the time the keeper on a red grouper was 20 inches. And, you know, this one taped out, like, right at 20 inches, you know. So I was like, okay. So we threw it in the live well. And sure enough, you know, we get back to the boat ramp. Here comes the Marine Patrol. And Marine Patrol's like, hey, you know, you have any fish, you know. And we said, yeah, sure. We got one right there in the live well. And, you know, they took it out. They measured it. And they were like, okay, it's right at 20 inches. And, sure, and they told us, they said, hey, listen, you know what, if you would have put that in a cooler, you know, it probably would have shrunk and it would have been short. So, you know, that was one thing that I learned that day, you know, don't put your fish that, you know, might be borderline in the cooler.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, if for anyone who doesn't know, if you are caught, especially nowadays, with a striper, a redfish, you know, major species that have a lot of protection on them, and they catch you out of the law, they will take your boat, they will take your car, anything that led to you catching that fish, getting to the fishing spot, fishing, anything, they will take. So
I agree with that.
No, because we've got over 15 guest users right now with a buttload of listeners and a lot of people that will get these podcasts. You know, be safe. And that's just not just wearing your PFD, having running lights, a radio, and everything else. It's protect yourself. These guys, and I got to say this, you know, the game wardens and everything else aren't the bad guys. They're just trying to get rid of the bad guys, okay? And they're not trying to hurt you or bewilder you. Is that, you know, if you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I agree.
Take it and, you know, be respectful to these gentlemen. If great show on National Geo, on that Geo channel, Wild Justice, you see these guys that, you know, they write citations left and right to people that just don't take the time to make sure they're in the right.
Right.
And
or they don't care.
Think you're in the wrong. Or they don't care. If you even think you're in the wrong, don't do it. If you've got a sense of doubt, just don't do it. I don't know how many times
I've
called my wife, you know, while I'm on the water floating in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean going, hey, honey, quick question. What's the size limit on this? And I hear it go, how am I going to find that? I'm like, well, it's already bookmarked. You just have to look. Okay, what's it called?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it's called, but it's got a lot of spots and it looks funny. And she go, okay, does it look like this? And she'll explain it to me. I'm like, yeah, it sounds like it. She's like, there's no bag limit. Okay, I'm bringing one home. Granted, a lot of times I'll do that, and then I find out, there was a reason there's no bag limit on that fish.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, so are you going fishing this weekend? It's a holiday weekend for most people.
Actually, no, I've got to work. And in between working, I'm pouring lots and lots and lots of plastic. So, no, I will not be. But then again, I've had it where I'll be pouring plastic for 3+ hours and go, I got to get out of here. And I'll just run and shore fish. So you never know with me.
Yeah. Oh, I do that too. You know, this time of year, the seawalls around Clearwater Beach and, you know, the Clearwater Marina and things of that nature are just, they're just crammed with sheep's head. You know, it's like a sheep's head invasion still, you know, right now. So, you know, I might head down there this weekend and do some of that fishing because I definitely am not going out in my kayak. All right. Well, this brings us to the end of another fun-filled edition of Kayak Fishing Radio. Thank you for Mark Landing Crew Wheeler coming on and being entertaining tonight. And good luck pouring your plastics. Hey, don't breathe too many fumes, dude. We're going to need you down in Jacksonville. So, you know, at least to have half a brain. All right, man. Have a good weekend. No problem. Take care.
Bye.
All right, that's the end of another edition of Kayak Fishing Radio on The Late Show. I am Rob, a bad backcast DeVore, and you can catch me here next Thursday right here on the always illustrious Kayak Fishing Network, brought to you by YakAngler.com and the always popular blog talk radio.